so much to our worship team that has helped us this morning. And thank you for joining us again for this time of worship as we look to God's Word. And in looking to God's Word, as we seek to understand what we are to do in the very midst of difficult days. And you may think in terms of your life feeling a lot like the line on this graph that I have beside me today. It's a line that shows perhaps the instability of the stock market. It's a line that shows the instability of health and all the related issues. It's the line that shows the ups and downs that we go through with stress and with so many different kinds of emotions. And so because of where we are in this moment in history, I sensed the need to change the sermon topic this morning to look at what Paul said to the Philippian church. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, I want to encourage you to open them to Philippians chapter 4. In just a moment, I'm going to be reading from that text. You're going to see it on the screen. If you don't have your Bible, stay where you are so that you won't miss anything that we're going to be sharing in these moments ahead. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I've included a prayer that I would like to invite you wherever you are right now. If you're watching with your family, then all together I would encourage you to share this prayer aloud. I'd like for us all over the community of Middle Tennessee, wherever you are, I know there are some people from out of state tuning in, wherever you are right now, would you pray this prayer aloud with me? O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You know, this was not the first time that this had happened for Paul. Paul was in prison, but it wasn't his first time. He was practicing a Roman-imposed social distancing, but it was not his first time to do this. He writes the letter to the Philippian church from a prison cell, and he longs to be with them. And I can speak for everyone that's been on our stage today. I can speak for all of our ministers on our staff. I can speak for our deacons. I can speak for Sunday school teachers, many of whom zoomed in today with their class, that we love you, we long for you, that you are our beloved. We long to have face-to-face fellowship again. I can't wait to stand in line for hugs and for this introvert to say that, you know that that something significant is taking place. You know, we're all in this together. I was preparing for an address to the Tennessee Baptist Historical Society just a couple of weeks ago, one of the last public meetings that I attended. And the subject was on the Great Depression. And in researching and reading some of the accounts, I found in a journal where my father had written about the Great Depression and shared some words with his church years and years ago. And in that time, he said, we were all going through the same thing, but we had each other. And you know, right now, during this time of distancing, we don't have each other like we might be accustomed to, but we still have and we still are the body of Christ. I love you today. Thank you for tuning in with us. Look what Paul says in this verse. Therefore, stand firm. You know as well as I do that when we see the word therefore, it refers to something that probably was written in the immediate verses ahead of time. And in chapter 3, we see in verse 20 and 21, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So when Paul writes this, he's saying, now, look, we've got a challenge here. We've got something that's in front of us that's a little difficult. I'm in prison. You're facing some situations there in Philippi. This is a church that Paul started years before this. He had been there, and you remember the story. He was thrown in prison at midnight, and there he and Silas sang, and an earthquake took place, and the Roman jailer who was watching him was about to take his own life until Paul interrupted the silence of that moment by saying, wait, don't hurt yourself, we're all here. And eventually the jailer and then his whole household trusted Christ as their Savior. What Paul says is that our sanctification, our glorification, those things that God is doing and working in us and through us, because of that, stand firm. So this morning I want to identify some things in this text about standing firm, some ways that you and I, in the midst of the ups and downs of this moment in history, can apply in our hearts and lives and stand firm in Christ. First is this, he entreats Euodia and he entreats Syntyche to agree in the Lord. These are great words here. These two women, their names are names given to them, obviously, by their parents, but they're not living up to their names. Euodia means prosperous journey, and Syntyche means pleasant acquaintance. Well, they're neither prosperous nor are they pleasant to each other as Paul writes them. And he says, I want you to agree in the Lord. Now, when we think about what does that mean? Well, it means to stand closer to each other. These two ladies had a rift between them, and that rift, that division, was causing them to not only be experiencing the distance between themselves, but it was hurting the church. And so Paul says, I need you to stand closer to each other. I need you to reconcile your differences. I need you to make amends for the cause of Christ. You see, their argument was causing dissension in the body of Christ. And when your relationship with someone else is broken, you cause dissension in the body. The body will never be what it could be. The body will never grow because it's not healthy. It won't flourish because it's diseased. It won't please God because it's pleasing Satan, as long as we let irreconciled relationships rule. And so when Paul writes these words, he's giving to us the very first step about things that we can do in the midst of difficult days. We can recognize the gift of personal relationships. You miss each other, but maybe in the midst of this season, the Lord's going to lay someone on your heart that you have been experiencing a broken relationship with. Take this opportunity. Life is too short. Things that we have depended on, we realize we can't depend on. But the gift of personal relationships is a gift that God gives to us. Oh, church, I encourage you, anyone in this community listening to me, I encourage you, use this time. Write a letter. Make a phone call. Do something to try and begin the process of reconciling a relationship. And notice at the end of verse 3, Paul says, you know, your names are written in the book of life. And that's a reminder to us that our names are written in God's book of life. In the book of Exodus and in the book of Revelation, we see reference to the book of life. And if our names are in the book of life, what a gift that is. Can't we get along? Can't we come together? Can't we agree? And then Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. That means no matter what the circumstances. I say again, rejoice. The theme of joy is a prominent theme in the book of Philippians. The command to rejoice can always be obeyed. Even in the midst of conflict or adversity or viruses or uncertain times or difficult days, we can choose joy because joy doesn't depend on the circumstances. It depends on the Lord. Paul reiterates this and he says, choose joy. That's why we have that second time in that verse, the word rejoice. And since joy is commanded, it's not a feeling, it's not based on happiness, it's a life stance. Happiness depends on what happens, but joy does not. Joy comes from a conviction that despite present circumstances, God is in control and God is going to bring salvation to those who belong to Christ. Paul goes on and he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That word reasonableness is an interesting word in the original languages there. It means to respond with a sense of humble or patient steadfastness, especially when you've been maliciously attacked or berated or treated unjustly. And I think about these difficult days. Well, none of us would have chosen them. But God gives us the opportunity to let our tolerance or let our reasonableness or let our moderation be known to all. We don't go and hoard the toilet paper. We don't go and take the last things off the shelf as if there's never going to be anything else. Not without thinking of others first. It's a disposition that seeks what's best for everyone. And so because Paul uses this phrase and then goes on to remind us that the Lord is at hand, most interpreters look at that and say it could mean one of two things. It could be that it's a reference to the second coming, or it could be a reminder that the Lord is near when things are not going according to our plan. This is a Romans 8:28 moment, isn't it? That all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I have such incredible confidence in what God is doing right now, even though I wouldn't have designed it to start this way. And then I simply use the phrase to lead with leniency. This is the step that Paul is referring to when he talks about our reasonableness being known to others. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious. Now, anxiety can be good. Paul probably felt some anxiety for the growth of the church. He felt some anxiety for those who were going through some of the difficult times and the difficult days of his era. And there were probably some times when Paul even felt like he was waking up in the middle of the night because of anxiety over his concern for the churches in his area. But that's not the kind of anxiety that we think about today that causes panic and causes great fear. To be concerned or to worry or to be panic-stricken is not the intent that God has for his children. In anything, he says, as well as everything here in this passage, Paul's language is deliberately all-inclusive. There are no restrictions on applying it. The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. And so he gives us this incredible word about prayer. We are to present our request to God, not because God is unaware of our needs, not because God needs to be informed, but because it's our opportunity to make the declaration that we are totally dependent on God. If you haven't bent your knees in this crisis, I hope you will before this day is over. If you haven't found yourself praying more, I hope that in the next week and the days ahead, you will. We are not going to get out of this crisis without God's hand and without God's help. We have to be people of prayer. I see in this text a very simple definition of prayer. It's bringing our request or our concerns to God with thanksgiving, always remembering with gratitude the salvation and the blessings of God, but always bringing our request to him. It's simply saying, God, I don't know what to do with this, and so I bring it to you. So my challenge to you here, the fourth challenge, is to cultivate a stronger prayer life than you had last week. Now listen, none of us prays as much as we should or ought. None of us are going to set the record for being on our knees longer than anyone else. But every one of us can pray more in the coming week than we prayed in the past week. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that word guard. Paul might be using it because he's in prison and he sees prison guards all around him. But Paul may also be thinking about the very promises of God, that it's God's peace that will garrison or build a fortress around his heart in these uncertain times. Your heart, your mind, all of that is going to be guarded because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. What a promise he's given to us. So let God's peace guard you. Don't put your faith and don't put your trust in anything else. Certainly nothing more important than God's peace right now. And I remember reading this years ago that you are not going to know the peace of God until you come to know the God of peace. And right now in the midst of this crisis, let me tell you what my prayer is every single morning. God, would you please use this crisis as the impetus for a great awakening in our generation? God, would people come to know Christ as their Savior who have never thought about Jesus before? And God, would you stir up our church, our congregation, Would you make us more loving toward one another and more giving and more generous? And would you put the witness of Christ on our lips? And would you not let us put our head on the pillow at night until we have shared Christ with someone, had a gospel conversation that would point someone to our Savior? I pray this crisis, these difficult days, will be the church's finest days, but they won't unless Christ pours out his Spirit for a great awakening in our world. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I love the way the Message paraphrase captures this. He says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. And so the sixth step, if you will, in this journey to standing firm is to think on higher and nobler things. In the recovery community, we often hear people talk about stinking thinking. And that's where you kind of get on the crazy train and you think, oh, how terrible things are going to be because this has happened, or how awful things are going to end up because of such and such. Church, you could do that in these days. You could look at the economy. You could look at church closures. You could look at the whole issues of our health and everything going on in our community. And you can be guilty of stinking thinking too. I want to encourage you not to do that. You'll stand firm in these difficult days if you'll follow Paul's example and if you'll think about those things that are true, that God loves you, that God's got a plan. Even in the midst of this, he always works with a motive. We may not understand it, but God's there. He says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Well, God does not send his peace from afar off. He doesn't remain in heaven aloof and distanced from us. I can tell you in this moment, this day of social distancing, God is closer to you right now than he's ever been. And my challenge to you is what we see from Paul here, and that is to practice the spiritual disciplines. When I think about the importance of getting up every morning and opening God's word and hearing from him, and then getting on my knees and spending time in prayer, And going through the rest of my day conscious and aware of the practice of spiritual disciplines, that's exactly why we are gathered here today. You know, it would have been so much easier for us to have said, no church for the next 2 weeks, tune in to a television preacher or something like that. But God's people are disciplined to join together in worship. We do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but instead we join. And so today, you've honored God by being a part of this time of worship this morning. Well, I hope you got everything, but if not, let me just go through that list in closing today. We recognize the gift of personal relationships. We choose joy. We lead with leniency. We cultivate a stronger prayer life than we had just last week. We let God's peace guard us. We think on those higher, nobler things. And we practice the spiritual disciplines. Church family, thank you again for joining us for this time of worship this morning. In just a moment, Gary Morgan is going to come back and He's going to close us with just some application on this, and we're going to stay in tight communication with our church family in these days ahead. I love you. I miss you. God loves each one of us in this time. Let's never forget that. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. And God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for journeying with us this morning. What an invigorating, exciting journey there. And the journey is not an individualistic journey. As I hear Pastor Frank taking us, weaving us through the God-inspired truths in the book of Philippians, it's not an individualistic journey. And being a follower of Christ, while personal, is not individual as well. So I'm curious for you this morning, how has isolation caused challenges for you? How has social distancing caused challenging for you? To be real honest, the phrase social distance is not a phrase that I've ever used before over the last few months. But how has it caused challenges for you? Or in a unique way, how has isolation or challenges caused celebration for you? I mean, both of those are outside of how we were uniquely designed. There's a writer, Watchman Nee, and he says it this way. In Christ, I have died to that old way of independence, and I have become not just an individual believer, but a member of his body. So as we get ready to close up our morning together, I'd love you to think about a few thoughts that Frank's taken us through and that God's word has driven in our hearts. Come to the Father. Come to the Father. The scripture says, come all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is rest for your souls. As Frank took us through about disciplines of being with the Father, how are you doing in the discipline of spending unhurried, unhindered time with God? Take a few moments. Take more than a few. You've got a lot of them. Are you engaging in the peace that comes from God's presence? So come to the Father. And then connect with others. Are you sharing your story with others? Are you engaged with others? Are you coming alongside of others in the unique ways that you can? You can do it through text. You can do it through the web. You can do it through social media. You can do it through an old-fashioned way of a letter or even a phone call. Are you engaged in the lives of others? So ask yourself these thoughts as we close this morning. What do you need to do next? What are the steps that God has for you to grow in his ways with him and in relationships with those around you? Who do you need to tell? Thanks for joining us this morning. It's been great being here with you. I hope you're still in your pajamas as we're dressed up, and we're excited to close the morning with an act of singing as Joe comes and brings us this last song.